Job chapter 13, page 577, if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, page 577. Beginning with verse 6, we'll read through verse 15. And I'm asking, please, that we read these verses responsibly. Job chapter 13, verses 6 through 15, page 577. Shall we stand, please? Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for Him? Will ye accept His person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that He should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock Him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not His excellency make you afraid, and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. The last verse we read, the 15th verse, is the text verse. And let's pray. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy care. Thank You for the reality of Thy person. Thank You for being so real to us in so many ways. But on these days that we gather at this place, on this corner, here in this church, these days have been very special to us in times past for many of us here. And now we meet together again today. Not the same crowd as last Sunday exactly, nor shall it ever be the same crowd ever as is here today. And so the work that's to be done today needs to be a unique work. We trust Thee to work in our hearts and our lives. Please give us attentiveness to Thy word and give power to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I rise to speak on behalf of God in a rather special way. I want to try to make you think more of God this morning. And because of that, I really, of course you know, good night. I'd give anything if everybody here just listened to every word I say every time I speak. That's the thing I want more than I want anything else in the world. Just to be heard, that's all. Just listen to me. But it's been a long time since I had a message that I wanted you to hear as much as I want you to hear the one this morning. I'm going to speak on the subject, perfect trust in God, and what causes it. Perfect trust in God, and what causes it. My text, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job had lost all of his wealth at God's permission. God had allowed Job to lose all of his children by death. Folks, can you think about that? Can you think about sitting in one funeral parlor with all 10 of your children's bodies lying in state? He had lost his health. He had lost his wife's confidence. He had lost everything. He had a disease that caused his body to suffer so much and hurt so much that he sought relief by going down to the city garbage dump and sitting in the coals, the fire of the city garbage dump, and taking something like a knife and scraping the sores of his body with that knife. He had lost it all. I mean, I just don't know anybody had it worse than Job. And yet, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I believe with all my heart this morning, if you will look right this way for the next 30 minutes, I believe you will have more faith in God than you ever had in your life before. I come today on behalf of God, our Heavenly Father. Give me the attention of these people, and may their attention be rewarded by a message from the throne of grace. Amen. I was talking to a mother. She told me of a daughter. Look right this way. She told me of a daughter who was bitter. She had found a list that her daughter had made, a list of the people against whom she was bitter. And the mother, through tears, said, "Brother Hiles, the first name on the list was God." A list of names against whom her daughter was bitter. And the top name on the list was God's. You'd be shocked if you knew how many people in this room have been or are or will be bitter at God. I want to stand on His behalf this morning and speak for Him, in order that the Holy Spirit may use me to help alleviate, exterminate any bitterness that you may have ever thought of having against our God. David said, "I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." And I like that. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. But I like Job's better. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job could not say, "I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." Job had to say, with his children's bodies fresh in the grave, all of his great wealth depleted, the confidence of his wife gone, his strong body diseased, his great influence in town completely destroyed. He was a mockery to the citizens of the town. And his friends coming to him and telling him, "You sinned, and that's why all this happened." Ladies and gentlemen, Job had nobody. He had nothing, and he had nobody. And he said, sitting in the ash heap of the city dump, scraping his body with a knife, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now, what caused it? Now, please listen to the next few moments of my message. Let me tell you what caused Job to say that. Let's take our human relationships. Now, this is the message. The next three little lines or points, brief points. I want to give three statements. One is, we watch what a man does. Number two, we then decide his character on the basis of what he does. Number three, we then trust his future conduct because of the character we decided
on the basis of what he's done. Now, look at me. Here is a person, and conduct is the mouthpiece of character. So here's a person, and I watch him, and I watch his conduct, and I'm convinced that his conduct is good. And so there comes a time in my life where I add his conduct all up over the years. Watch me. And I decide what I think about his character. Now that settles it. I'm his friend. His conduct has proved to me what his character is. I no longer decide what his character is. Let me illustrate. Here comes a person in that back, his song service is on. Here comes a person in the back. The usher says, let me usher you to your seat. All the ushers do. The ushers usher a person to a seat here, and when the usher gets to the seat for that person, the person is seated. Now the usher doesn't stay there. The usher goes back to the back. The person is resting comfortably in the seat. The usher has done his job. Now your conduct is my usher. And your conduct ushers me to my seat. And I come to the place where I rest in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in your character. So I do not need your conduct anymore to convince me what you are. I know what I believe because your conduct has ushered me to the place where I believe in you. You've proved yourself over the years. Now then, I do not judge your character anymore because your conduct has proved to me your character. So I then trust your future conduct because of the character I have seen that you have. I'm coming back to God in a minute. Let me illustrate. This man here, Brother Colston, prayed for him as you have hundreds of times this week and loved him extra special because of the homegoing of his dad. For 25 years, I have seen his life. I believe in him. His conduct has convinced me years ago what his character is. Now don't leave me now. His conduct has convinced me what his character is. And I have arrived at his character by watching his conduct. When I arrive to what I saw by his behavior what I think he is, I settled in my mind, that's a man of character. I think he's one of the best men I know. Of course, as you can see, I don't know many good men. But I think he's one of the best men I know. Now follow me carefully again. I watched what he did. His conduct was the mouthpiece of his character. On the basis of that conduct, I decided what his character is. His character must never be proved to me again because I trust his conduct in the future, whatever it is, on the basis of the character I decided he had as I watched his conduct in the past. Now, let's suppose he does some act which puzzles me. Let's suppose that he does something that puzzles me. The world says, hear me now, the world says he's dishonest. I say he isn't dishonest. Why? Because his conduct over the years has proved to me what he is, and because of what he has done in the past, proving to me what he now is, I trust what he does in the future. And the whole world, listen, the whole world may say he embezzled some money from the church, but I don't believe it. In fact, the whole world does say that. I don't believe it. I think somebody put it in his pocket. I don't believe it. I think it was Lively. No, Lively wouldn't put money in anybody else's pocket. I don't know anybody up here. I did it. Now, I'm saying I trust the fella. That's settled. I don't care what he does. I believe in him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, without this, every man must always be on trial with every other man. And it isn't fair. It is not fair for my friends to have to prove themselves every day to me. I watch them perform, I watch their behavior, and I become convinced that this man is a man of character. So, if he does something that puzzles me, and the world says he's dishonest, his actions were the key to his character, and his character is the key to his actions. I trust the fountain because I have drunk from it for 25 years. And if I drink and the water is bitter, if I drink from this fountain and the water is bitter, I think it's something wrong with my mouth. Because I trust him. Now look, without this, every man is always on trial. Without this, we're always testing our dearest friends. And let me just say this, without this, there's no such thing as friendship. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what friendship is. Friendship is saying, I have watched him, I have watched her, I am convinced that John Colston, by his actions, they have ushered me to a seat of rest and confidence and trust. And I believe what he is on the basis of what he's done. Now I have arrived at what I believe because of what he's done and what he does. From now on, I trust him even if I can't understand it. I was in a meeting down south. I was preaching with a singer I did not know, just met him. In fact, we're together. You're with me? Yes. And we're sitting at a table at night. And this singer, I like him. Good voice. I think he's a good man. I think he needs some help, and I believe I gave it to him. He told me about a church that's having trouble. He said, one man in this church could have saved, in this world could have saved that church, but he wouldn't. He said his name's Dr. Roy Thompson. I said, you're wrong.
You were there, you heard me.
I said, you're wrong. But he said he could have saved. I said, no, he couldn't. If Roy Thompson could have saved that church, he would have saved that church. I said, I know Roy Thompson, he's my friend, and you're wrong. I decided years ago what I think about Roy Thompson. I watched his actions, I watched his behavior, and his good deeds were ushers that ushered me to my seat of confidence in Roy Thompson. Now, I believe in him. I settled it. It's all settled. I'm not saying he's perfect. But I'm saying I believe in his character, and I'll defend him. Why? Because what he did led me to believe what he is, and what he is leads me to have confidence in what he shall do. Now the question comes. By the way, I have the same confidence in this man, having this man. Now, I'm going to get to God in a minute. The whole illustration, I want you to have your faith in God. Now watch me. If this man right here and this man right here conflict, and I have confidence in his character and his character, what do? I always defend the accused. Because the Bible says the devil is the accuser. And by the way, the devil is not accusing of error, he's accusing of truth. When the devil tells God, I'm a scoundrel, he's right. By the way, it tells God you're a scoundrel. He's more right. So the devil accuses accurately. But you check my staff. You check anybody on my staff. For these almost 27 years, I always defend the accused. Always do. Now, let us carry it over to God. God has been good to me. And God's conduct through these years to me. Are you listening? God's conduct and God's actions have proved to me of the integrity and the goodness and the infallibility of Jehovah God. I have all, consequently, His goodness to me has led me to my seat and ushered me to a place of rest where I trust Him completely. So when and if God does something that puzzles me, I still trust Him because His deeds have led me to be assured of His character, and in my confidence in His character assures me that whatever He does is right. That's what Job is saying here. Job is saying murder's wrong. Murder's wrong. But if God murders me, I believe there's a reason. My wealth is gone. But I'm not going to put God on trial. Ladies and gentlemen, get God off of the bench. Out of the courtroom. Get Him out. God's not on trial with penury minds like us as His accusers. Withdraw your charges against God. God has proved Himself. His deeds, His actions have been proved. Job is saying, for all these years, I've trusted Him, I've loved Him. He's proved Himself to be wise, omniscient, omnipotent. He's proved Himself to be a good God. And if He takes my wealth, He's still a good God. I do not see that that's good, but I believe that's good. If He takes my health, I do not see that that's good, but I don't have to see that that's good. I have drunk from His fountain long enough until if it's bitter, it's in my mouth and not in His fountain. He took my children. I cannot see that that's good, but I believe that that's good. Because He has proved Himself to me, and I have decided that God is good. He's taken my friends, said Job. He's taken the loyalty of my wife, said Job. He's taken my health, said Job. Now, if that had been you or me, we'd probably say, I don't understand God. I've served Him, and I've loved Him, and I've gone to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and I read my Bible, and I prayed. I even left my job and came to Howard Anderson College, and I don't understand God. You're not fit to preach yet, Buster. Until you get a firm, strong confidence in the veracity and integrity of God Almighty on the basis of what He has done, to believe what He will do is perfect. You're not ready to stand up and represent Him yet. No, you're not. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. He doesn't have to prove to me by His actions every day that He's still good. Say something precious. Abraham. Yes. This is God. I know. Heard your voice many times. I want something from you. Anything I've got. It's all yours. You gave it to me. My money? I want more than that, Abraham. Want my cattle? More than that, Abraham. Want my house? Want more than that, Abraham. Want my health? Want more than that, Abraham. What do you want? Son. I want you, son. You want what? I want you, son. You want my son to be a preacher? No. No, I want your son. You want my son to sell out to... No, I want your son. How do you want my son, dear God? I want your son to be taken on a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah, a place I'll show thee. And I want you to build an altar there and lay some wood on that altar. And I want you to bind your son. By the way, this was no little boy. This was a grown man. And I want you to bind your grown son on that altar. And I want you to reach out and take a knife and pierce the breast of your son. I want you to kill your son.
Well, up till now, God, I sure had a lot of confidence in you. But anybody that asks me to do that, I'm bitter against you. Not Abraham. Abraham said to your God, you took me in the Ur of the Chaldees, and you gave me your leadership. I left my home to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and rooter is God, and you led me all the way. And dear God, you've been with me and provided for me. Long time ago, God, I decided on the basis of your conduct, I decided what your character is. And Abraham, God, I don't understand this, and it puzzles me why you should take my son. But dear God, I decided a long time ago that you know what you're doing, and though it puzzles me and I can't see it, I can't understand it, I'll do it.
Boy, you talk about trust.
That's more than what Job. Job said, though he slay me. Abraham said, though he slay my son.
And that's harder.
I'd rather God kill me than my son, hadn't you? I don't mean me. Hadn't you rather God kill you? I know many of you rather God kill me than kill you, my son or your son. But Abraham said, now listen carefully. Don't miss it. Abraham said, God, I'll do it. I'll do it.
You've heard me say many times. Can you imagine that 3-day journey? Can you see him as he went to sleep on the desert sand of the Judean hills? And as his son was resting over here, he hadn't told his son yet. Isaac, a grown man, was resting over here beside his dad, and his dad couldn't sleep. Reached out and took a handful of that sand and let the sand of the Judean hills trickle down through his fingers. And Abraham said, dear God, if you promise me that as the grains of sand, so would my seed be through that boy. I don't understand it. I mean, you made a promise.
But I trust you. You've earned my trust. He is yours. All I've got is yours. You earned my trust. Next night he goes, lies down to rest. Isaac, who knows not yet what's going to happen, is resting soundly.
Abraham puts his face toward the skies and sees the bright stars of the Judean sky and looks up at the stars and says, dear God, you promised me that as the stars of the heaven, so would my seed be through that boy there that's resting. I don't understand it.
I'm going to do it. Because you've earned my trust.
The ushers of your good deeds have brought me to my seat of confidence. And I rest in you. And I'll do it.
Now wait a minute. Let me show you the other half of the message. They get to Mount Moriah.
Isaac, the grown son of Abraham, says, Daddy, here's the altar. Here's the wood.
Where's the sacrifice? How would you like to have told your grown son what Abraham had to tell his dad, his son? Listen to me. Abraham said, son, God will provide himself someday as a sacrifice, but right now, son, he told me, you're the sacrifice.
What? Dad?
Dad, what did you say?
Son, God told me that you're the sacrifice. You talk about faith in a dad.
You talk about faith in a dad. You talk about a son being a friend. Isaac said,
my daddy, it's all settled what I think about my daddy. It's all settled.
I've seen my daddy walk. I've seen my daddy weep. I've seen my daddy live. I've seen my daddy's faith. I've seen my daddy's life.
I don't understand this. But I'm not going to question my daddy. Daddy, put me on the altar. Can you see Abraham putting his own son on the altar? As I watch this happen, I say that's exactly what Job meant when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Abraham was saying, God's conduct has proved God to me, and I have settled it that God is good, and I'll never doubt God again. I believe that what God does in the future is going to be right because I have arrived at a decision about what God is because of what I've seen God do in the past.
And then Isaac said, I watch my daddy. I believe in him. I've settled it.
My daddy's conduct through these years has led me to believe my daddy. So whatever my daddy does, I'm going to trust it. If the waters that flow from my daddy's fountain become bitter, I'll think it's my taste and not my daddy's water. And ladies and gentlemen, I close with one statement from the depths of my soul today. For 40 years, I've been a preacher of this book. For 40 years, I've done my best to walk with God. He's proved himself to Jack Hiles. And his deeds, and his goodness, and his blessings have led me to arrive at the place where I've arrived with John Colston, that God is good.
And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Father,